We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And welcome back to our show. There's some really heavy scattered showers around the area, and some of this is going to go into this evening. Ordinarily, the thunderstorms just kind of end at sunset, but some of this rain may continue into the evening, so make sure that you stay with us all afternoon here for your afternoon commute with traffic and weather updates right here on WWL. I'm Scoot in the afternoon. Glad you're with us. I love being with you every afternoon, and so happy to have you part of our afternoon audience. This is where politics and pop culture meet your opinions in the afternoon. Coming up, going into our first break, a song from one of the bands that will be part of this three-band concert Thursday night, June the 23rd at Champion Square. So we'll play one of their big songs coming up. Also, another classic from the grunge era of the 90s, the new one from Justin Timberlake coming out of our news update at 3:30. And on this day in 1974, this was something that actually started in America, but it reached Britain. And there was a song written about this trend, this fad, this thing that people were doing. Now, this was 1973, 1974. The song about this hit number one on this day in the UK in 1974. It was also number one on the US charts. This craze, I'm going to remind you about this craze in the next half hour. And I can only imagine what the talk would be like today if this craze was going on. Today's establishment, the baby boomer generation, was part of this craze back in the 70s. And again, I can only imagine what the reaction would be today. We'll talk about that in the next half hour. CNN is not using the name of the Orlando shooter. They're not showing his picture. Anderson Cooper in particular, I got a text here that says that CNN has news articles on the website that mention the shooter's name several times. I guess I didn't really notice that. But CNN has not emphasized it. And, you know, maybe the other networks are doing the same thing. I'm not singling out CNN here because the others may be doing it as well. I'm just not as aware of it. But CNN was making a point yesterday afternoon during Anderson Cooper's show of not mentioning the name of the Orlando shooter. And this was because they didn't want to bring any infamous notoriety to the killer. Because there's this feeling that there are people who want attention, even though they know they're going to die. They take great satisfaction in knowing that they leave this life with some kind of infamous notoriety attached to their name. Now, it doesn't make sense to those of us who are rational thinkers. I mean, I'd rather be alive than get notoriety and be dead. But I guess there are some people who, for their cause, or some people feel so insignificant, so marginalized, so unimportant, that they know how to go out in a blaze of glory. They know in their minds, one of the things that seems to inspire some people is the idea that they are going to somehow be famous, even though they're dead. This is one of the things that inspires him. I'm not a psychiatrist, but you can understand to some degree this way of thinking. I'm nothing. I'm suicidal, and I want to do something before I die. So I'm going to kill all these people, and that instead of just killing myself, I'm going to make a name for myself. But here's an interesting question: does the refusal to use the name of a terrorist or mass murderer, does that discourage others, or does the omission of the name not accurately define the crime? Is it better to give a face to the crime? I've used the name of the shooter in Orlando very sparingly for that reason, but in some ways, the name and the face make the crime more personal. At least that's the way it is for me. But I understand the idea of not giving them what they want, but they're dead. And I can't assume that they understand exactly what they've left in this life. That's our Party Jaguar opinion poll. Is it good to refuse to use the name of the terrorist or the mass murderer? or does omitting the name not accurately define the crime? Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com, and we will track that poll throughout our show this afternoon. In talking about the Baptist preacher in Sacramento, who on Sunday, just hours after the mass shooting at the gay club in Orlando, this preacher said that he was just saddened that there weren't more people killed because they're gay, they had what was coming to them. And, you know, it's interesting how quick people are to judge those who are different. If you look different, if you act different, if you do the same thing that somebody else does, it's easy to pass judgment on somebody who looks and acts differently from you. It's hard to pass the same judgment on somebody who looks just like you. And I use this example quite often. The great majority of those who are arrested for child pedophile charges, child porn, and child pedophile, they're middle-aged white men. And a lot of middle-aged white men don't see themselves as being stereotyped as child pornographers or pedophiles, but many are quick to judge other groups. And so one of the things that we talk about on this show is maybe not being so quick to judge others just because you don't understand them. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon about anything we talk about, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. And President Obama today has taken some time to defend not using the term radical Islam. Donald Trump has been very difficult, has been very hard on the president for not using radical Muslim or Muslim terrorist or Islamic terrorist. Hillary Clinton kind of came close to using the term yesterday. And in fact, we've got that entire conversation with her, and we'll play that for you in just a few minutes. But from the campaign trail, you know, there's been criticism of Trump and Clinton for using this tragedy in Orlando to benefit their campaigns. But don't we expect presidential candidates to respond to the news? Don't we expect them to respond to events? Because we want to know how they're going to handle something once they become president. And what Trump is saying is giving an indication about what it's going to be like if this happens and he's president. Now, it may not be exactly that way, but that's the impression that he's giving you. And Hillary Clinton is giving you the impression this is the way it's going to be if something like this happens and I'm president. And they're both talking about what they can do to make sure that this doesn't happen again. On the campaign trail, Hillary Clinton said the AR-15s should not be in public.
That was the same assault weapon used to kill those little children in Sandy Hook. We have to make it harder for people who should not have those weapons of war.
And I think we all agree with that. It should be harder for those who shouldn't have them to have the weapons. But again, how do you do that? And one thing that we brought up yesterday afternoon on the show was this idea of our precious Constitution, that it actually does protect the rights of those who want to do harm to this country. How much of the Constitution do we have to throw out to make us as safe as maybe we could or should be? Hillary also wondered something that we've all wondered, and that is about, you know, the FBI interviewed this guy, and then they either closed the files or they weren't paying attention to him, and he went out and bought a gun.
If the FBI is watching you for suspected terrorist links, you shouldn't be able to just go buy a gun with no questions asked.
And here was Donald Trump's comment about what has happened over the weekend, and he talked about, once again, the borders.
When I'm elected, I will suspend immigration from areas of the world where there is a proven history of terrorism against the United States, Europe, or our allies.
And Donald Trump was talking about the ignorance of this whole idea of radical Islamic terrorism.
When it comes to radical Islamic terrorism, ignorance is not bliss. It's deadly.
And he's got a point there. By the way, happy birthday to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is 70 years old today. From Mississippi, Edward, you're on WWL.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
You may have answered my question, but, you know, I see some double standards. They would always criticize President Obama for not using radical Islam or whatever. But for CNN, if that's true, not to call the name, aren't they doing the same? I mean, they're not facing the fact that this person did this and the name needs to be given. Is that kind of like double standards? I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, Edward, I appreciate you bringing that up. I don't think it is. I think the president wants to make sure that he doesn't offend Muslims in this country and around the world. And I think, okay, by not saying the name, CNN's goal is to not give notoriety to the killer.
Okay.
But I appreciate the call. And if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, here is our number, 260-1870. Area code 504-260-1870. And our text number is 870-870. All right, Thursday night, Champion Square. Saw a couple of bands there, Weezer and Panic at the Disco, Sunday night. Great place to see a concert. Great stage. It's so improved. And sometimes they have reserved seating there as well. Night Ranger will be with Rick Springfield and Loverboy Thursday, June 23rd. Get your tickets. That should be a great show. I'm Scoot in the afternoon, and we'll be back on WWL. I'm glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Scoot in the afternoon. I got a text here that wants to know if they're going to recreate the scene in Boogie Nights at the Night Ranger show, the scene where that song played. I don't think they're planning on it. Here's an update on our Party Jaguar opinion poll this hour. Does the refusal to use the name of the terrorist or a mass murderer, does this discourage others, or does the omission of the name not accurately define the crime? 7% say it discourages others. 93% say it does not accurately define the crime. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. There's a conversation going on some Facebook pages about why is this guy, Omar Mateen, called a terrorist, and somebody like Dylann Roof, who was the guy who shot the people in the church in South Carolina, why is he not called a terrorist? There is a specific, whether this is fair or not, there's a specific definition for terrorist. And terrorist is defined as someone who commits an act of terror. They're all acts of terror. But somebody who does it in the name of a religion or in the name of a political cause. And I guess it's, as far as Dylann Roof, the shooter in South Carolina, I guess we don't know. I guess it can be argued that his political cause was white supremacy. And I understand the argument that he could be called a terrorist. And I don't remember if everybody called him that, but everybody called Timothy McVeigh a terrorist because his violence was based on his anti-government agenda. And so while every one of these acts is an act of terror, not everyone is technically a terrorist in the minds of the law and the way we refer to it. Now, for those who are upset, I get texts from people, you shouldn't be calling the AR-15 or you shouldn't be calling these weapons assault weapons. Well, I understand the technicality of your concern, but the Justice Department and Congress and presidents have recognized assault weapons as a defining term for the kinds of weapons we're talking about, the AR-15s and similar guns. And earlier in the show, we were talking about whether or not the 1994 assault weapons ban. And again, you know, I understand that there's a real technical definition for that and the argument can be made. But in having a conversation about this and passing legislation, sometimes a term can commonly come to mean something that we understand, even if it doesn't technically fit the definition. The meaning of words change over time. So we were talking earlier about the impact of this 10-year ban on assault weapons from 94 to 2004. Did it have a positive impact on crime? And the NRA, for example, will say, no, it didn't. But then you've got Democrats and those who are fighting for more gun control who say, yes, it had a definite impact. And the analysis is, we don't know. Because so many of those weapons were grandfathered in that it didn't get them off the street, and these assault type weapons are used in such a tiny percentage of murders that it's just not even reasonable for any kind of decrease in those use of weapons, the use of those particular weapons, to really have an impact on crime. I mean, the big problem is handguns. But what I found most interesting about reading this National Institute of Justice report, this research report on the ban from 94 to 04, was how the gun manufacturers reacted to this. And market prices absolutely skyrocketed. We're going to go over this again in just a few minutes. And also, it was kind of a breakthrough moment when Hillary Clinton did add the word radical to Islam. And we'll play that conversation that she had coming up here in just a few minutes. If you want to join us with your comment this afternoon, here's our number. It's 260-1870. Area code 504-260-1870. Text is 870-870. But just think about how much the NRA and the gun manufacturers benefit whenever there is some kind of a fear of a ban or a fear that your guns are going to be taken away. And it's my understanding that there are reports out now that these assault-type weapons, AR-15s, are flying off the shelves because of the fear that they're going to be taken away. Same thing happened with guns and ammunition after Sandy Hook. So think about who really benefits. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not suggesting any kind of conspiracy here. But you can't tell me that gun manufacturers don't secretly, deep down inside, and the NRA, they don't, well, I don't want to say they're happy when this happens, because I wouldn't think that any human being would be happy when people die, when people are killed. But you can't tell me that they don't realize how much they benefit from things like a proposed ban. I'm Scoot in the Afternoon, and we'll be back after this WWL News Update with Chris Miller. Well, it's about the only place you're going to find sunshine today, in your pocket. Can't Stop the Feeling. This is the smash new hit from Justin Timberlake. And, you know, this is going to be a guy who is in NSYNC. This is going to be a guy who young generations today, if he continues performing, and I assume that he will for many, many years, this is the guy who will be celebrated 20 years from now because he's finally going on his reunion tour. I mean, people are going to go crazy because Justin Timberlake is going back on tour. Here's a quick update on our lopsided Party Jaguar opinion poll. Does the refusal to use the name of a terrorist or mass murderer discourage others, or does the omission of the name not accurately define the crime? 11% say it discourages others. 89% say it does not accurately define the crime. Give us your opinion by going to WWL.com. Here is a text that says, I don't feel that you have to have a political motive to be a terrorist. If I am terrorized by someone, he's a terrorist to me, whether or not he has political motives. Well, I understand that. But in terms of the law, in terms of our society, there is a specific definition for terrorist, and it's based on war. It's based on the clashing of the ideologies that we have. From Gretna, James, you're on WWL.
Hey, how's it going, Pete?
Good.
I guess clarifying my take on Timothy McVeigh. You just brought him up as being anti-government, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know he was linked to, I guess, bombing the Federal Reserve building and supposedly read the book The Turner Diaries, and they linked that in the book to him. And my take on that, in that book, I've read that book before. It talks a lot about the gun ban stuff that you kind of hear people talking about. But before every gun ban has been put in place, whether it be in Germany or England or, you know, say in America, they usually do this before they kind of collapse the system. Now, you see a lot of resources going over to China now. But, you know, I just want to clarify, you know, anybody who is interested, check out that book. It kind of explains how they would stage mass shootings to usher in this gun ban. And that book was written 30 years ago. I don't think Timothy McVeigh, per se, was anti-government. He was just tired of the fiat currency system you see now in place where Paisley enslaves us all.
It sounds like you're kind of subtly defending him.
No, I'm not. I think what he did was wrong. But what I'm saying is, one, the book The Turner Diaries is accurate. It was written 30 years ago. It specifies who's behind the gun ban and how they're going to do it. And it's coming into
Why has it been such a failure up to this point, James?
What's been a failure?
The gun ban.
I mean, I think there's a lot of resistance and awareness in America compared to other areas. One thing that's interesting, though, is like since Sandy Hook, every shooter has been killed on site. Even today in Amarillo, this little mass shooting, or they took one hostage, they shoot him down. It's not like he even killed anybody. And it's just like, you know, you see all these obviously conspiratorial videos online of hoax and crisis actors and stuff like that. But it's just the timing's unusual, Scoot. You know, you're going to see a rash of shootings right now. Because we're not as distracted. You know, the NBA finals are ending. And now,
yeah, James, here's something for you to research. Go back and look at the 50s and 60s and the fear of communism and the fear of this country coming under control of the United Nations, because people were saying exactly then what you're saying now.
Okay, well, Agenda 21 is out and out. The United Nations All Arms Gun Ban Treaty is out.
All right.
And open.
Do you have guns? Do you have guns?
Yes.
Okay. Has anybody tried to take them?
Well, I mean, the UN Small Arms Gun Ban Treaty.
James, has anybody tried to take your guns?
I think they're going to. Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet, but they are staging enough shootings to where it's going to go from here.
Exactly.
AR-15.
And this, this was said back in the 50s and 60s.
Agenda 21, United Nations.
All right, James. If I were you, I would lock my door. Justin, you're on WWL.
Hey, Stu. How are you?
Hey, Justin.
I just wanted to thank you for performing the services at my wedding this weekend.
Oh, this is Justin. I performed the wedding ceremony for Justin and his new wife, Carla. At the City Park Pavilion, it was a lovely wedding, and you and your wife looked great. And you guys are having a good time?
Yes, sir. We took a couple of days off of work. We actually back at work. Today was the first day, but I just wanted to call you on the air and really thank you for the job you did. Everything was perfect. You hit every aspect of what we could ask for. Just everything was just great, and I just wanted to thank you again.
Well, thanks, Justin. I enjoyed doing it. When I met with you and Carla, I took a lot of interest in you two as individuals and as a couple, and I spent a lot of time working on the wedding ceremony, and I thought I made it personal for you guys, but also, I enjoy talking about the union of two people, and it was a great opportunity for me as well, so I appreciate you asking me to do it, and I was proud to do it.
Yes, sir. Like I said, we were really, really happy. We couldn't ask for it was just a perfect day.
Yep.
Perfect everything. Every word that you said just had so much meaning. And then, my uncle followed. He followed, and he hit the nails on the head, along with every aspect of what you said. And it was just really well put together, and we couldn't have been any more happier than we're still trying to think it all in.
Good.
But I just wanted to really thank you on the air and really,
oh, thanks.
Really, really thank you.
All right, Justin, I appreciate that. And hug Carla for me.
Will do.
All right.
Will do.
All right, yeah, take care.
Bye.
Yeah, one of my side duties, marrying people. Here's what this Baptist pastor said at the Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento Sunday. Are you sad 50 pedophiles were killed today? No, I think it's great. I think it helps society. I think Orlando, Florida is a little safer tonight. The tragedy is that more of them didn't die. The tragedy is that I'm kind of upset that he, the shooter, didn't finish the job because these people are predators. They are abusers. He goes on to say, I wish the government would round them all up, meaning gays and lesbians, put them against a firing wall, put the firing squad in front of them and blow their brains out. I'm Scoot in the afternoon, and we'll be right back. On this day in 1974, this song hit number one on the UK singles chart. It was also a number one hit here in America. This was a trend that started, I think, at a college in Nacogdoches, Texas, streaking, especially at sporting events, running around naked in public. This was a fad in the mid-70s. Can you imagine what today's establishment would be saying if young people were running around naked? Can you imagine the impact that they would conjure up that this would have on young people? I mean, oh my God, what am I going to do? This country survived people streaking. And if somebody runs across a field naked or something like that, it's not going to lead to any, it's not the right thing to do, but it's not going to lead to any kind of absurd sexual deviant behavior. This was a song by Ray Stevens, The Streak, number one on this day in 1974 in the UK. I've gotten a couple of requests here to mention the name of the pastor and the church in Sacramento so they can blast him on Facebook or whatever. The pastor's name is Roger Jimenez, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, J-I-M-E-N-E-Z, Jimenez. The J in Spanish is pronounced like an H. Roger Jimenez at the Verity, V-E-R-I-T-Y, Baptist Church. It is in Sacramento, California. And the main reason for mentioning this is it just, once again, points out why it's so wrong to judge all Muslims by the behavior of some, because it would be wrong to judge all Baptists and all Christians by what this guy said. I wanted to mention earlier about the market prices when the assault weapons ban went into effect in 94. Right before that, man, the gun manufacturers made a fortune. The market prices for the banned gun, the guns that were going to be banned in 94, this was in 1993, and magazines rose 50%. And once the ban was approved and signed into law by Bill Clinton, the prices went down. And a lot of people were buying up all this stuff, speculating that there was going to be this great need because of this weapons ban, and it didn't happen. And so a lot of people got stuck with a lot of assault-type weapons, and they weren't able to sell them. It's also interesting that the sale of handguns, production of handguns, went down. So here's some statistics from this Justice Department report that the legal substitutes and the AR-15s and those type of weapons rose 120% right before the ban was to go into effect, from 91,000 guns made annually between 1989 and 1993, went to about 204,000 in 1994, and production of the unbanned pistols fell by 35%. Also, about the time that there was a big debate in California about banning guns, the criminal use of assault weapons actually declined. And some speculate that it was the higher prices and the speculative stockpiling of these guns by collector types that made it made the guns less accessible to criminals. So while there's a lot of information out about this, there's nothing conclusive that the assault weapons ban from 94 to 2004 had any impact on crimes committed with assault weapons. George, I've got time for a quick comment.
I have a quick scenario that I haven't heard yet, and that is, what if he decided in the middle of his life he wanted to have a gay experience? So he goes online, he hangs around the club, and he looks at the clubs, and he gets some input, and he gets rejected. He gets rejected and feels very, very upset and very hurt, and cooks up he's going to shoot up some gays.
Yeah, you know what, George, I guess that is a possibility. And we talked about the report that he was using a gay dating app, and that he checked out the gay dance club and also Disney, and apparently he was at this gay dance club, according to some people, more than once. His father said he was really upset when he saw two men kissing in South Beach in the Miami area. Maybe this guy had a real struggle with his own sexual identity, and by killing gays, he was trying to kill the gay inside himself. This is why it should be acceptable, in my opinion. I'm Scoot in the afternoon. We'll be back on WWL. Oh, you know, here's a song that could accurately be written today. Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? Great sports talk coming up next with Bobby Hebert, Deke Bellavia. Team coverage of the Saints minicamp. It started today, open to the public tomorrow and Thursday. It's free as long as the weather permits them to practice outside. The practices run from 11 a.m. to 1:30. Gates open at 10:15 every day. Coming up on Sports Talk with Bobby and Deke, you'll hear from head coach Sean Payton and other key players. Plus, get the Cajun Cannon's take on who he is impressed with, and Bobby does a great job of picking out the stars. I have never seen a good team get as cold as Golden State got last night in the third quarter. I mean, they were ice cold, and LeBron James was a monster star. Golden State was embarrassed at home by the Cleveland Cavs. We'll see what happens. It's now 3-2. Warriors will lead that series. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ty Benessis, and our studio producer, John Wick. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.